Separation from the world. As with many aspects of doctrine, it is often difficult for us to appreciate how radically revolutionary they were in the first century context, and in essence they should lose none of their radicalness with us. Christ is Lord was a radical challenge to the common dogma that Caesar is Lord. It hurt, it cost to recognize him as Lord, and so it should with us. Men and women died for this, and we likewise give our lives in response to that very same knowledge. There is a tendency, which the Lord himself brought to our attention, of calling him Lord, but not doing what he says. To know him as Lord in truth is axiomatically to be obedient to him. Luke 6, verse 46. The reality of the Lordship of Jesus is used in Revelation, chapter 19, verses 12 to 16, to encourage the brethren to continue fearless in their witness despite persecution. Jesus is Lord of the kings of the earth. He has control over the world. Therefore, no human power can harm us without his express permission and purpose. The exhortation of Psalm 110 is powerful. Because Jesus is now seated at the Father's right hand, his people offer themselves as freewill offerings in this, the day of his power. Colossians 2, verses 8 and 9 reason that because in Christ dwells all the fullness of God, so far is he exalted, that we therefore should not follow men. A man or woman who is truly awed by the height of the Lord's exaltation simply will not allow themselves to get caught up in personality cults based around individuals, even if they are within the brotherhood.
Faith. Faith is also inculcated by an appreciation of the height of his exaltation. He now has all power in heaven and in earth, and this in itself should inspire us with faith in prayer and hope in his coming salvation. On the basis of passages like Exodus chapter 4, verse 7, Numbers 12, verses 10 to 15, 2 Kings 5, verses 7 and 8, leprosy was regarded as a stroke only to be removed by God. The leper of Mark 1, verse 40, lived with this understanding, and yet he saw in Jesus nothing less than God manifest. Inspired by the height of the position which he gave Jesus in his heart, he could ask him in faith for a cure. If you will, you can, as only God was understood to be able to, make me clean.
Love for Jesus. We believe Jesus rose and ascended. We believe Jesus is Lord. Having not seen him, we love him. Because he is not now physically with us, our connection with him is not through our physical senses. It is therefore through our inward application of biblical material to our minds and hearts. We read the gospel records and epistles, we study the law, seeking to reconstruct who he really was and is, with a verve which is generated by the simple reality of the fact that he is not physically with us. And as we do this, over the years, we will have the actual sense of being confronted, claimed, taught, restored, upheld, and empowered by the Jesus of the Gospels.
Preaching him. Because Christ is Lord of all, we must preach him to all, even if, like Peter, we would rather not preach to them. This was the motivational power and reality of Christ's universal lordship for Peter, Acts 10, verse 36. The same link between Christ's lordship and witness is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which alludes to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Yahweh of hosts, of many ones, becomes manifest now in the Lord Jesus. the ascended Christ was highly exalted and given the name above every name, so that for those who believed this, they would bow in service at the name of Jesus. Peter preached in and about the name of Jesus. This is emphasized in Acts 2, verses 31 and 38, chapter 3, verse 6 and 16, chapter 4, verses 10, 12, 17, 18 and 30, chapter 5, verses 28, 40 and 41, and chapter 10, verse 43. The excellence of knowing him and his character and the wonder of the exalted name given on his ascension, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, led Peter to witness. Because of his exaltation, we confess Jesus as Lord to men, as we later will to God at judgment, Philippians 2, verse 9. According as we confess him before men, so our judgment will reflect this. Lifting up Jesus as Lord is to be the basis of giving a witness to every man of the hope that lies within us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Revised Standard Version. The knowledge and experience of his exaltation can only be witnessed to. It can't be kept quiet. 3 John verse 7 refers to how the great preaching commission was obeyed. For his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing in the form of material help from the Gentiles, that is, Gentile believers. For the excellence of knowing his name they went forth in witness, and moreover were generous-spirited, not taking material help to enable this. The knowledge of the name of itself should inspire to active service. For the sake of the Lord's name the Ephesians laboured, Revelation 2, verse 3. Because all power is given to me, go therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. The great preaching commission is therefore not so much a commandment as an inevitable corollary of the Lord's exaltation. We would not be able to sit passively in the knowledge of the universal extent of his authority and power. We will have to spread the knowledge of it to all. The greatness of Christ, the simple fact that Jesus is Lord, clearly influenced Mark's witness. He began his preachings of the gospel, of which his gospel is but a transcript, by quoting Isaiah's words about how a highway was to be prepared for our God, and applying them to the Lord Jesus, whom he saw as God manifest in flesh. Appreciating the height of who Jesus was and is clearly motivated his preaching, and it should do ours too. This is why Paul, in the face of every discouragement, could preach that there is another king, one Jesus, Acts 17, verse 7. This was the core of his message, not only that there will be a coming king in Jerusalem, but there is right now a king at God's right hand who demands our total allegiance. The Acts record associates the height of Jesus with a call to repentance too. This is the message of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 9. Because God's thoughts are so far higher than ours, therefore call upon the Lord whilst he is near, and let the wicked forsake his way. Because the Father and Son, who are so high above us morally and physically, are willing to deal with us, therefore we ought to seize upon their grace and repent.
Obedience. If we truly know Jesus is Lord, in reality, rather than merely in words, then we will actually do the will of the Father. Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22. To call Jesus Lord and not do anything actual and concrete in response means that our words are empty. It's as simple as that.
Not being materialistic. If Jesus is Lord, he owns all. Nothing that we have is our own. the Old Testament stressed that God's ownership of all precludes our own petty materialism, our manic desire to own. Abraham refused to take from a thread even to a shoe latchet of what he could justifiably have had for himself, because Yahweh, the Most High God, is possessor of heaven and earth. Genesis 14, verses 22 and 23. But now, all that power has been bestowed by the Father upon the Son. Our allegiance to the Lord Jesus demands the same resignation of worldly acquisition as Abraham showed.
Control of our words. Those who do not accept the lordship of God or of Jesus will have no reason to control their words. Those who say, "With our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us?" Psalm 12, verse 4. But the opposite is true. A realization of the tightness of Christ's lordship over us results in a control of our words, knowing that our tongue and lips are not our own, but His.